everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. One of my goals every day is to share something that can enhance people's sense of well-being, meaning, and purpose in life, so that they can live a long and prosperous and happy and healthy life. All of my information that I'm sharing at the beginning of our program comes from the National Library of Medicine. It is all based upon peer-reviewed literature. Now, what's interesting is that at the beginning of my career, I would talk about things I talk about today, and people would say, well, that can't be right. Why not? Something as simple as fiber, not having enough fiber in the diet. And I saw that people didn't have enough fiber. They were having 3 to 5 grams a day when we need somewhere between 35 and 50 grams a day. And that was a big deal. That was controversial. Today, that's not controversial. We didn't know about probiotics, but we knew about having a healthy intestine. So what I'm finding is that orthodox science, independent science, not corporate science, can give us some of the best ways of living a more natural and authentic life. For example, the quality of the food we eat, that's fully supported by all of the scientific literature, a healthy plant-based diet. That brings me to a study right out of Kangkok University in South Korea, and it's about vitamin D. Now, most people think, well, I get enough vitamin D. I'm out in the sun. Well, not if you're using sunblockers, you're not. If you're a person that has deeper melanin in the skin, you're not getting enough vitamin D. It's blocked, and you need that vitamin D. You need what is called a serum 5-hydroxy vitamin D. So why not simply get a simple vitamin panel? In other words, we'll know whether you have enough vitamin C and D and calcium, magnesium and zinc and other essential nutrients in your system. Why is that important? I'll give you one example. If you lack vitamin D in your diet, and it's not enough in your blood system, then you could end up, according to this latest study, of having a disruption in your neuronal integrity. And that means you're going to have impaired cognition. Now, that can lead to dementia, and it can exacerbate Alzheimer's, which means that a person who has memory loss, that's how it starts, generally short-term memory. Where did I put my keys? And what was the title of that book I just read? And you start to think, okay, no big deal. It is. It's telling you that short-term memory is being affected, and that means you have inflammatory responses in the brain. In other words, your brain is inflamed. What could I be doing that causes inflammation? Well, how about having too many protein foods, too much protein, alcohol in any amount, refined carbohydrates, pretzels, potato chips, you know, French fries, things we don't think about because so many people just, well, that's how they eat. Now, if you don't have enough vitamin D, and most people don't, it's going to adversely affect your heart. It can exacerbate depression and anxiety. It can affect your immune system in a major way. Because vitamin D helps protect you against cancer, premature aging, heart attacks, but it also protects your brain. And that's what they're showing, that the science is showing that when you don't have enough vitamin D3, it is inducing cognitive decline and dementia. And it's also part of the pathophysiological mechanisms in the brain. And that leads to a loss of your neurons' integrity. And that means you're going to exacerbate and speed up the whole process of prematurely aging your brain. And we've seen it. I'm right now, and for the past 15 years, I've been helping friends, people I know. The oldest help was for a mother that was 15 years ago. And one of my friends who had dementia. But because this person put their mother on a protocol, the mother just passed recently, they had full cognition, was able to carry on conversations, was aware of their presence until just 2 weeks before they died in their mid-90s. So that was a big deal. When I asked my friend, at least you had 15 additional years to your mother's life, that meant 15 more years of a relationship, said that was so important. Yeah, it's a lot of work. but other friends didn't use protocols and or only a little bit of a protocol and didn't see the improvements. So let me explain this. Almost everyone right now watching this program or listening will end up suffering the loss of someone in their family who is older, and generally with dementia or Alzheimer's, Parkinson's or ALS, some neurodegenerative condition. You can track it back if you knew everything they did, and you can see how that negative association accumulates, meaning every good thing you do, it accumulates to your betterment. Every negative thing you do, that is not a big deal in the moment. Look, I'm just having some French fries, Gary. Just one drink, you know, that's all. I'm not getting drunk. That one drink, depending upon the amount of alcohol, could have prematurely aged your kidneys, your lungs, your brains, your eyes, and your heart. Yeah? And so, no, it's not one negative of anything that's going to make the big difference. It's the accumulation of that, and it all accumulates. So what I'm saying is, when you're deficient in a nutrient like vitamin E, you're not going to have the same oxygenated blood. You're not going to trap the free radicals which attack your cells and prematurely age you. And that's why it's so important to take care of the little things so they don't accumulate into bigger things. Get a simple blood analysis, a nutrient analysis. It doesn't cost much. It just takes one little bit of blood, and about a week later you'll know, oh, wow, I didn't know I didn't have this or I didn't have that. At the same time, check your homocysteine, fibrinogen, C-reactive protein, and triglyceride levels, because those, when they're elevated, they'll cause heart attacks, strokes, and cancer and premature death. Again, you won't feel them, but these are crucial to know your status of your immune system, which everyone should want to know. All right, something simple. So take your vitamin D and help keep your brain healthy, your neurons, integrity in place. Next up, this is about rose hips. Now, probably you haven't heard about rose hips, but it's the original form of vitamin C from the 1960s and 70s and 80s, and it went out of favor. And the part of the reason was because back then everything was at low dose. People thought they were taking a lot of B-complex if they were taking 5 milligrams. Yeah, I remember this because I owned a health food store back in 1967 that's still there, a little tiny hole in the wall, Creative Health Foods up on 108th and Broadway. In fact, recently when I was back in New York, I went by there and just popped in to say hello to the owners. And the guy said, oh, you're Gary Noll, you're the guy who started this store. I said, yeah. Well, a lot of people, older people, still come in here. They listen to your radio show and they're taking their health and they're in good shape. Good. Because back then, when I looked around for vitamins, and there weren't a lot available. A high dose B complex was 5 milligrams B1, 2, and 6, right? A high dose of vitamin C was 100 milligrams. And if you wanted to get the best vitamin C, you bought rosehip vitamin C, because it was all natural. Well, guess what? The high-potency vitamin Cs are also important, but so too is rosehip. This is according to the Gentang research out of Japan. Now, rosehips have been used medically for thousands of years and have been studied to have value in a range of health conditions. Humans research now shows that this fruit from wild rose blossoms may be effective for treatment of obesity. Japanese researchers decided to find out. They conducted a 12-week, double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled trial on individuals whose body mass index, that's your belly fat, was more than 25 but less than 30. By the way, to me, that would be obese. I believe that a man's, depending upon their body size, body mass index should be around 10 and a woman's 12. Okay? And all the people in my anti-aging groups, that's where they get it. And boy, are they good and healthy and fast. There's no reason to think that you have to deteriorate simply because your chronological age is getting older. In any case, every day the subjects received a chewable tablet containing either a placebo or 100 milligrams of rosehip extract, the same thing we were using in 1967. During this study, the participants didn't make any changes to their diets or their caloric intake. The researchers measured abdominal body fat, that's the subcutaneous and visceral fat, what you see and what you don't, and body fat percentage, weight, and body mass index at various times during the trial. At week 12, the abdominal fat, visceral fat, and body weight and body mass index all decreased significantly in the rosehip group compared to their baseline numbers and compared to the placebo group. So, the authors concluded rosehip extract is very useful in reducing abdominal visceral fat in pre-obese people. So why not use it, all right? And why not take it not at 100 milligrams, but at 500 milligrams three times a day? That's going to help you burn more fat faster. It also has anti-inflammatory properties, antioxidant properties, and antibacterial properties. A new study from Exeter University shows that adding a small plant, maybe some flowers or some ivy or some plant, just put it on your desk, can improve your memory and make you happier. Now, plants look so different from animals that it's easy for many people to think of them as alien and separate from us. Most people appreciate how pretty flowers and trees look and how photosynthesis is essential to life. One day you walk out and it's the wintertime. Everything is barren. No leaves on the trees unless they're evergreens. And then comes the spring. And then comes the rains. April showers yields May flowers. And then suddenly a tree is full and blossoms, the cherry blossoms in Central Park and down Riverside Drive Park in Washington, D.C. Everywhere you see the cherry blossoms. And the apple blossoms look very similar, pinks and whites. And you think, wow, this is pretty. We all appreciate how beautiful nature can be. Why not bring some of that nature right into our homes and put them around, have hanging plants? And why? Because it improves our mental and physical connection to plant life, and it runs deeper than what you might expect. The scientific evidence that plants play a fundamental role in shaping our mental state and decreasing the risk of mental and physical illness is mounting. Why? Because now we can prove scientifically that plants reduce depression, anxiety, and mood disorder symptoms in humans by reducing levels of stress hormone cortisol, which can lower heart rate and promote a feel-good state of mind. Several studies have shown horticultural therapy may help some people manage post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms and improve their quality of life once more. They can even increase your creative thoughts by stimulating the brain with their vibrant natural colors. And also, there's a growing sense of well-being. Even the little pot plant on your desk may have a more potent effect on you than you might realize. The houseplants you bought to brighten up your home or workplace may actually be helping you think more clearly. Studies have shown that surrounding yourself with plants can improve your concentration by up to 20% and increase your ability to recall information by 20%. Plants do this by reducing CO2 concentrations and improving air quality. According to a UK Health and Safety Executive Guidelines, the concentrations of air pollution should not exceed 1,000 parts per million in offices, as at this level, it can cause headaches, fatigue, and dizziness. It can also lead to poor decision-making. Research has shown that in some cases, houseplants can decrease carbon dioxide concentrations from 2,000 parts per million to about 480 parts per million in less than 1 hour indoors. Now, popular plants that are effective in removing carbon dioxide include blue star ferns, weeping figs, spider plants, and anthurium species like the flamingo flower. And some plants, of course, can also alter our body chemistry. Just think of many species used in medicinal and recreational drugs. It's ironic that some people think of plants as little more than nice-looking greens when humans have been using them So what is the takeaway message? Surround yourself indoors with plants of all different colors and types, and outdoors. Make yourself a little meditation garden. Do you think it works? You bet it works. In fact, on our health retreats, there's a place they can go, and it's called a gazebo. It's a French 18th century style gazebo. Beautiful windows, beautiful ironwork. It's just gorgeous. But inside, we have butterflies, all different types, monarch butterflies and other butterflies. And that's where we hatch them and release them outside. By the end of the summer, we have allowed thousands of butterflies to exist that wouldn't have. But also we have all these aromatic plants, lavender, lilac, honeysuckle, and cinnamon. And you go in there and you're overwhelmed by the cacophony of smells. And then we play meditation music. Sometimes it's just flute. Other times it's just waterfall. And we have a water wall, beautiful mosaic. And you see the water cascading down the mosaic. And then you're listening to the music. You're smelling the aroma. You're looking at butterflies landing on your nose and your hair and your shoulders. And all these wonderful plants. That de-stresses someone. It brings down their cortisol level. When cortisol comes down, your pulse rate comes down, lengthening the lifespan of your heart. You're relaxed, you're at ease. You feel at one with your surroundings. Makes it very easy to meditate. Makes it very easy to change your states, your mind states, from an alpha, beta, theta, and delta. Each one serves a different purpose. And all this is important. Just saying, you can do it. We used to do it at the Tri-State Healing Center. We had one room that everybody wanted to go into. It opened at 8 in the morning, and it was packed till midnight, all day long. Why? Because the environment I just said, we did as a tropical rainforest. And with a water wall, whole wall, the whole thing came down, cascaded down. We built it all ourselves. Six chairs, reclining chairs on this side, six on that side, and people just chilled out. We actually had people came up, and I'd ask them, I'd say, are you here for treatment? No, Gary, I hope you don't mind. You're at 72nd Street. I work on 57th Street in Broadway. I'm in a very stressed situation. I just want to come up here on my lunch break, and I eat my lunch outside on the stoop. I come up here, and I do this for a half hour, and I'm good to go the rest of the day. I said, fine, no problem. Try it at home yourself. Now, from Cedars-Sinai Cancer Center comes a study about vitamin deficiency can explain African Americans' greater risk of aggressive prostate cancer. This is brand new research, just out this week. Research findings, according to Cedars-Sinai Cancer Center and their cancer research communications, suggest that if you're deficient in vitamin D3, what I talked about earlier, and if those levels are down, you're at a much higher risk of incidence of aggressive prostate cancer, especially at a younger age by African-American men. And this was unlike other studies. It was specific. So for all of the gentlemen in this audience and mothers and fathers who have younger children, make sure they're getting their vitamin D3 if you are a person of color, because you're at a greater risk of prostate cancer. And we want to prevent that, right? We want you to live a long and healthy life. And by the way, cancer cells fail to mature and die as normal cells and do so. Instead, they continue to divide. And without sufficient levels of vitamin D, they can cause them to mature. The cells in the tumor continue to multiply out of control. Vitamin D stops that process, and that's why you need it. All right? And it's, not difficult to get that. And finally, from UCLA, curcumin found to outperform pneumococcal vaccines in protecting infants. Yes, you heard that right. Despite no evidence of its effectiveness to prevent disease, well, public health agencies in the medical community insist that infants and children between the ages of 2 and 12 require up to 4 shots of the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine, or the PCV. Now, good news. New peer-reviewed scientific literature and study finds that turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, and curcumin, that's the active ingredient, turmeric, can outperform the vaccine in providing long-lasting protection against potentially deadly lung damage in infants. Researchers at Los Angeles Biomedical Research Institute at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, using disease models, found curcumin provided long-term protection against the damage caused by inadequate lung function. The study was published in the American Journal of Physiology, Lung Cellular and Molecular Physiology. All right? So when someone says, well, there's nothing natural that could outbeat a chemotherapy or a vaccine, wrong and wrong. All right? And there you have it. And you can deny it. You don't have to use it. But then that's just bias and prejudice and, unfortunately, too much of the wrong indoctrination. Nature plays a very important role in keeping us healthy. All right? And by the way, Duke University found more than 50 studies, I repeat, 50 studies on turmeric's effect on addressing Alzheimer's disease. And that report indicates that the extracts of turmeric contain a number of natural agents that block the formation of beta amyloid, the substance responsible for the plaques that slowly obstruct cerebral function in Alzheimer's patients. And also it stops the, it acts like a COX-2 inhibitor, but without all the drugs for arthritis. And also Duke University found, you ready for this? More than 200 citations for turmeric and cancer, more than 700 scientific references on curcumin involving cancer. All right, and in fact, there's a whole handbook on phytochemicals, mechanisms, and actions that explain this. So when I'm saying there are thousands upon thousands of articles in the peer-reviewed literature on curcumin, you bet. It's one of the things I make sure that I take every single day, and I hope you do too, because it can help prevent colon cancer, mammary cancer, prostate cancer, hepatocarcinogenesis, that's liver cancer, esophageal cancer, and oral cancer. Yeah, if you didn't know it, now you do. It can also help you with losing weight. And there's a lot of studies on that, generally 200 to 500 milligrams. It also helps Parkinson's disease, all right, and can slow the progression of Parkinson's disease, all that. And that's it for our discussions today on health and healing. We're going to take a break and come right back. And you can always go to GaryNall.com for the latest essays, commentaries, original investigative reporting, and a whole lot of more information, including a lot of films. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Yesterday, we played you a clip from a program dealing with, and by the way, we want to thank the people at Awakening who produced this. They do a good job over there. I highly recommend it. And if you're not familiar with Awakening, please go up and take a look at their site. And they don't allow censorship. This is about smart cities. Smart cities that they want to have all of us live in. They don't want you living on a farm. You won't need to have farms because they're going to grow everything, mainly insects and anything we're supposed to eat in their genetically engineered or completely controlled environments. Who's the largest farm owner in the United States today? Well, it's Bill Gates. Enough said. You know what's happening after that. And so now, everyone should be in a smart city, and they're going to sell it so it really seems good. Everybody's going to sign up without questioning, just like 5G. No one questions 5G. You should. There's over 10,000 studies showing how dangerous it is, but who cares about that? The New York Times supports 5G. So who questions the New York Times? Anybody who has a brain should. So we played you a clip. And we didn't play the clip that I wanted you to see. We're playing that today. The clip we played showed how the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, and that whole group, including the owner of BlackRock, the founder of BlackRock, sits on the board. And they're the largest owner of assets in the world. They had the most liquidity. They have $10 plus trillion to play with. And they buy up all these corporations. They buy up controlling interest because they control the stock. and therefore they control the policy. So even when you think you're buying, well, I can buy a Coke or a Pepsi if you bought colas, they're two different companies. You think? Can you prove that? Who owns the most stock in each company? Well, let me tell you, Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street, Berkshire Hathaway, or Fidelity. One of those five will own controlling interest in almost every corporation in the world. Every mining company, every media company. Who controls Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, Disney? Who controls Google, Facebook? Oh, you think it's just Mark Zuckerberg? And he's the only person? No. No, he controls a lot of stock, but so do these people. And they have one agenda, profit. So, that said, because remember, they control the banks. By controlling the banks, they control the policy of the bank. And by controlling the policies of the bank, they could have put a moratorium on home foreclosures. They didn't, because they also control companies that profit off your debt, that come after you if you can't pay your high interest rates. And who controls the interest rates? They do. So everywhere you look, you're going to see their hand. Well, I'm just giving you one example today, smart cities, because they exist now, because they've been planned for years. And how did they get this? I mean, you have to go through local community boards. They control the community boards. You're going to see the woman talking about New Zealand and virtually every one of the community boards in all of New Zealand and every community in New Zealand agreed unanimously that they should have the smart cities and all the rules that go with that. You're going to learn the rules that they didn't tell you when they're promoting the cities. So they've been nurturing. Obama was one of their nurturers. Trudeau, one of their nurturers. Putin, one of their nurturers. Macron, all these world leaders were all at one time, years ago, they were one of their new young world leaders. And they have thousands upon thousands of them all over the world. All over the world. They make up a lot of, for example, in Canada, they make the majority of Trudeau's cabinet. You would know that. They never discussed their connection with the World Economic Forum. So mind you, behind the scenes, without you knowing it, they've been controlling the dialogue because they own the media. They control what goes out on the air. So I'm going to show you the truth about a smart city. We're going to have a whole expose on smart cities here in the United States. They're developing now. But they had to have a grid. And that's how they sold you 5G. Didn't know that that was a real reason for 5G? Yeah. And they've now got 6G. And that's what's going to control the internet. But then they also have artificial intelligence that's controlling all that. I see. So what happens when artificial intelligence is smarter than humans programming it? Then the artificial intelligence could simply create its own code that you couldn't turn it off. There's no off switch when artificial intelligence is smarter and more maniacal than you. So if they can't be turned off, but they can turn off anything they want, then they can virtually control all life on the planet, or at least that part of the planet connected to the 5G. Yes. And every single thing, every word said, every thought, everything going on in a smart city, they will control. Here's how. Watch this now. This is the future, but it's happening now in different parts of the world. You just haven't been made aware of it. Now you will be. Watch this now. This is the future, but it's happening now.
And only one thing, your government certainly doesn't intend on discussing the truth about smart cities with you. They couldn't give a toss about full disclosure or getting your consent for any of it. In fact, they know that if you knew the reality, you'd do all you could do to prevent it. The term managed retreat is a term first introduced by, believe it or not, the World Economic Forum. It's their idea, and just like all their other policies, the leaders of the world are obeying its requirements at whatever the cost. Now, nations all over the world are executing managed retreats, always presenting it as if it's a response thought up by that nation's own government, when it's nothing more than a corporate globalist scheme being executed all over the world for globalist purposes. Managed retreat is simply the mechanism being used to move people into resilient cities. But what is a resilient city? I mean, I appreciate the Wellington City Council telling us that Resilient Cities Network is owned by the deeply corrupt Rockefeller Foundation, but why is this lady holding up a sign that pushes globalist ideology? I mean, wouldn't managed retreat into resilient cities be more about things like, I don't know, raised housing to protect from floods and earthquake-proof buildings? Well, apparently no, because a resilient city is a smart city. They're one and the same. A city that's digitally empowered to survive, adapt, and thrive. Whatever. It's got nothing to do with surviving, thriving, resilience. Nothing at all. It's a pack of lies. Take a look at any smart city technology and you'll see that they're all about surveillance, tracking, and facilitating future lockdowns and controlling humanity. Smart city technologies are not about the environment. And getting you within the confines of a smart city through managed retreat, ushered in by geoengineered weather events, is being cloaked as protecting you from the climate, protection of the climate, and also about your convenience. But it's all one giant scam. Managed retreat will involve buyouts, land swaps, rebuild restrictions, land use control, and compulsory property acquisitions, aka government theft of property. And don't you just love the arrogant way they describe dislocating people from their land as challenging? And how they describe this as something that the people are asking for because of climate change. Then they double down on their manipulation, giving us a random example of how Maori are the example for us here, because back in 1850, there was a chief who shifted his people because of a flood. Just to clarify, we are not asking for managed retreat or smart cities. That's a lie. In fact, it's quite the opposite. People all over the world are vehemently expressing their opposition, actually, and being completely overridden by globalist controlled governments. New Zealand's actually the first nation in the whole world to have all its local councils join the Smart Cities Council. So it's not a matter of which of our cities are going to be developed into smart cities. Apparently, we're going to be an entire country of smart cities, whether we like it or not. It's all in keeping with our WEF AI pilot project nation status and its clear description of how New Zealand is going to be used as a pioneering nation for the new era of AI technologies, particularly tracking and surveillance and all its corresponding legislations. But just as the term managed retreat is a form of neuro-linguistic programming, so is the term smart city. The term managed retreat is a fear mechanism to imply that an enemy is approaching, in this case, nature. And they will manage the situation for us via smart cities because it's too much for us to be able to survive on our own. And the term smart city is just quite simply a lie. It has nothing to do with superior technology being harnessed for our benefit. It has nothing to do with ease and convenience, well-being, and the advancement of humanity. And it's not going to look anything like the brochures. In fact, if they were to print an honest brochure, it would probably look a lot more like these images that I included in my video on the Shanghai COVID response. It showed how drones and robots patrolled the streets and millions of people were forced into multiple enormous human warehouses with lights that stayed on 24 hours a day, jail cell-like housing, barely any bathroom facilities, leaking roofs, seas of stretchers and bunk beds, people begging for food, filth, rubbish everywhere. They were like scenes straight out of a dystopian horror movie. But the globalist leaders of the West were united in their praise of China's response, saying, it's the level the West needs to strive for. That should tell you something. There was a huge amount of drones used to control the people in China too, not only for surveillance of movement, but also to bring about starvation. Thousands of tons of food was dumped and destroyed as drones would hover over trucks full of food, blaring out demands that they dump their produce outside the city, telling them they were being recorded. And speaking of drones, the Australian military released a video a few weeks ago, February 23, showing robot dogs designed to be able to subdue humans that are now able to be controlled by the minds of their operators. Here they are walking the streets of Washington, D.C. Now, because of the UN's and the World Health Organization's and other Western leaders' positive response to China's actions, I tend to believe that this dystopian AI police environment is more likely to be the reality of smart cities than the utopian picture we're being presented with. All around the world, technologies are already being installed to try and force you to comply with the coming digital system for your very survival.
Walmart, Rockland, Ontario. Look what they're installing. The sensors are in, fellas. This section here, there's no doors. They've just installed doors, and they have sensors everywhere. Look, sensors going right there. See?
Food, water, shelter, freedom of movement will no longer be human rights under this system, but instead only given to those who submit.
Check, I'll show you this. There, see? There's a beep boop machine. They don't do beep boop, door don't open. Most people don't know what's coming.
These are facial recognition cameras and will only allow the door to open once identification's been obtained. Here's another supermarket.
All this is cameras for when they're here. In front of the meat section. And here, in the egg department, all along.
These are popping up all throughout Northern America. Doors installed where there used to be none, with facial recognition cameras mounted above them.
Since these doors went up, these cameras are here. They're all over the place.
China's digital ID program went nationwide in late 22, and with the added benefit of the social credit system already being so well established there, smart cities are now prevalent throughout China. And what do you know? They don't look like the brochures. They're a great example, actually, of what to expect. Absolutely off-the-chart surveillance. There's literally nowhere you can hide in them. QR scanning and facial recognition is required to enter and exit each zone. It's called geofencing, and it's because of climate change. The smart city police are being issued with all sorts of crazy new technologies to help enforce these new laws, such as facial recognition glasses that can identify anyone within seconds of looking at them, and can even see through a person's efforts to disguise themselves. And they can connect to any data requested about that individual, such as credit scores and medical status. And on top of that, there's something called the gait recognition system being used to identify people by the way they walk. Oh, Orwell didn't have nothing about this in the book. Yeah, smart cities will also contain integrated weaponry to keep citizens under control. Arman has over 25 years' experience working in Silicon Valley as a video surveillance engineer and has invested hundreds of hours researching this intended digital ID slavery system ahead of us, which he's calling the final lockdown.
Every tree and plant, all of nature is going to be mapped digitally, and eventually we'll be getting pushed into the metaverse. These are called smart lights and smart poles, which are an integral part of the smart city infrastructure. They all are wirelessly communicate with each other. It's an open-air concentration camp for surveillance, as well as, I'll show you, it'll be weaponized. And then they will also host all sorts of sensors in the name of climate change and global warming. They don't even have diffusers on top of them. So you can't look up at these lights. They're designed to make humans look down. There's something called a puke ray. It's an LED incapacitator, where you have this, think of it, this is an LED gun, which is able to emit different frequencies of light at a very high rate of change. So when you do this at a very high frequency with different lighting, and if there's a human being that's in the vicinity and looking at these lights or near these lights, you can get intracranial damage, you can hurt your spine, you can get sick. I bet you it can even kill you. So these can be used as weapons.
These LED incapacitators have been used by militaries for some time. In recent years, the Department of Homeland Security in the US has been funding the refining of this technology so that it can be used in more everyday applications. Lovely. All public documentation about these LED incapacitators describe it as a weapon that can disorient and immobilize its victims, giving them sudden and extreme vertigo and nausea by increasing intracranial pressure. But it's well established that too much intracranial pressure can cause spinal damage and permanent brain damage. And in case you're thinking perhaps Aman was being a bit dramatic when he said that he thought it could potentially also cause death, well, many others, including Cedars Sinai, agree with him. Looks like the World Economic Forum forgot to put this little piece of information in the smart city brochures. I think weapons in the streetlights would at least warrant a mention, you know, even just in the fine print, you know, transparency, disclosure and all that. But that's just me. If you scroll through the profiles of smart cities on the World Economic Forum website, you'll see that many of these cities already have these lights installed, and many are in the process of being installed. A few years ago, Christchurch was the first city in New Zealand named as a future smart city. Lucky them! This is a fact that the Christchurch City Council makes no bones about. And in accordance with this scheme, almost 40,000 streetlights have already been upgraded in Christchurch to smart city network lights, and the council says here that they hope to have the rest replaced by 2024. Now, although our government says that all the lights on the NZTA's 2022 list of approved luminaires are completely harmless, every one of them has the Smart City Ready tick, which means they include the hardware and the platform to accommodate advanced smart grid applications able to be added to in the future. Oh, goody. These software upgrades will be able to be done remotely, and that's part of the danger of smart cities. What we're told about is not where it ends. Take, for example, how long did it take for them to message readjust from 20-minute cities to 15-minute cities? And now Melbourne's bragging about how it's aiming to be a 10-minute city, and now we see the push for 5-minute cities. I mean, what even is that? Living in your bathroom or something? I mean, we're only told what they want us to know at the time. The software upgrades, the message readjustments will be incremental but rapid, and the final message readjustments will come once the global corralling into smart cities has been achieved. And at that point, it's a bit like the old divide and conquer, isn't it? We could then find ourselves isolated into districts that have ever-increasing regulations to the point where they become prisons. A real-life Hunger Games. Well, that's just my positive outlook on it all anyway. Another new technology we'll see in the coming smart cities is called blockchain and CBDC, or centralized bank digital currency. Blockchain will be the very backbone, the operational system, if you like, of the smart city. And if a resident doesn't subscribe to this system and all its requirements, it's looking like they'll have no access to currency. Dr. Pippa Malmgren talked about blockchain at the 2022 World Government Summit.
We are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money.
Somehow I don't think they're going to bother with little details like constitutions and human rights. That's so yesterday. Either Pippa is way more naive than she should be at this point, or she's part of the reassurance cast. As Luxon's already made clear, he'll do all he can do to ensure no one receives an income at all if they refuse to take all the jabs on the schedule, both them and their children. And a system such as blockchain makes enforcing a policy like that extremely easy. Everyone will require a digital ID to access CBDC. That won't seem like too much of a big deal for a start, you know, much like a real me account. But this particular account will most likely be linked to your medical status, which is already in a nice tidy little digital package in the recent My Health Account New Zealand initiative. Should any aspect of your medical status, such as your booster history or your child's immunisation requirements, not be up to date, as per the Agenda 2030 immunisation report with its 500 new vaccines, then your inbox and your digital ID account may contain a letter informing you that access to your CBDC has been suspended until the matter is amended.
Well, let me tell you, your streets are spying on you, your mobile phone is spying on you, your cities are spying on you, and the infrastructure for future lockdowns is being put into place right now. Don't be fooled. You're being set up to be tracked through your movements and through the future of your digital wallets. By handing over your data, you're handing over the ability to monitor your behaviour, which will soon be turned into a social credit score.
Becoming blockchain currency, CBDC, are all about surveillance and control. And by the way, they're all ready to go. Here's well-known American investment banker Catherine Austin Fitz.
This is Richard Werner, the top academic scholar in the world on central banking. Here he is in Malmo, Sweden in May.
The nature of this CBDC, what is it actually going to look like? They never talk about that. But I heard one European central banker tell me what it's going to look like. He saw it. And it was around this large. And would be implanted under your skin.
Colorbit shows you what is to be achieved by 2030. And that means no flying out of the UK, no ships out of the UK, no cars at all, and no, all wood burners to be ripped out of every home and every gas appliance to be ripped out of every home by 2025. Now, that is a government document. UK fires, absolute zero. And this is where we're heading for in net zero. We will literally be imprisoned on our own island. And this is what this top-down global control is all about. You think it's a green agenda to actually save the planet. It is not.
I can only suspect that the global forecast population decreases may have something to do with a sudden and severe rise in all-cause mortalities, as well as the deliberate destruction of human fertility through poisonous fake vaccines, for example, or other big pharma concoctions that cause disease or deterioration, or the withholding of infective cancer medications, or the ever-growing abortion rate encouraged from a government level, as they're now also encouraging voluntary euthanasia. Or maybe through the deliberate damage to human health delivered through food, soil, atmosphere poisoning, who knows? They're coming at this thing from many different angles.
I live in Oxford in the UK. I went to visit some family members today to find out that my family are not able to park outside their house without a permit, their own home. I do believe it's £60 a year. What kind of tyranny is this? And if your family go to visit you for more than 2 hours, they also have to have a permit to go and see their own family. What is this? £60 to park outside your own house in your own car. And if your family come to visit you, you've got to pay for them as well £60. To stop us from talking to each other as a family. How does that affect the climate? All of this climate change rubbish is to control us. Wake up. This is just the start. This is coming to your city too. This isn't about climate change. This is about control. Klaus Schwab and his gang. Wake up, because it's coming to your city next. It's horrendous here. Businesses are going to the wall and everyone's arguing and they love that. Please stand up and take our country back before it's too late.
Smart cities, the way of the future. Clean, green, and so convenient. Everything just right there in the palm of your hand. You may know them by the name of 20-minute neighborhoods or 20-minute cities. Oh, I mean 15-minute cities. Sorry, it changed a while back. Oh, okay, 10-minute cities. Right, okay, wait, what? You gotta be kidding me. 5-minute cities? Well, this is changing really fast. I don't like this. What are they going to be like? And where are they going to be? Especially here in New Zealand. Well, I can tell you, it's not just going to be Hamilton. And it's not just going to be Wellington. And it's not just going to be Christchurch. Because New Zealand is the first country in the whole world to have every one of its city councils signed up to the Smart City Scheme. Yay! So it's time we learn what they're truly about, because they're coming in like a flood. Through more and more geoengineered weather disasters and the false climate change narrative, we are about to be ushered into the age of managed retreat, into resilient and sustainable cities, the age of globalist tyranny like never before. I know this video is quite long, but there's information we need to know about what the reality of smart cities is. And even in this time frame, I'll barely be able to skim the surface.
You're in coalition with the far right.
I can tell you one thing. Your government certainly doesn't intend on discussing the truth about smart cities with you. They couldn't give a toss about full disclosure or getting your consent for any of it. In fact, they know that if you knew the reality, you'd do all you could do to prevent it. So, seeing they don't want to give us the truth, let's go have a look for ourselves, shall we?
Questions loom over who will foot the bill of New Zealand's climate adaptation plan. The government's unveiled a framework for dealing with the impact of rising seas, increasing heat and extreme weather. It will outline plans for abandoning areas no longer safe to live in and a funding model for the transition.
Okay, that gave you just a small insight. Now compare that to every lie, every propaganda you're going to hear from every major media in the world. Because remember, the people who own the cities, and they will own the cities, they own the media. They own the message. They control the narrative. Did you hear what the woman said? She has to get a permit for her own parents to come for only 2 hours, limited to 2 hours. You go over that, you pay a fine of $60. $60 for how much over? I don't know. To park your own car. You have to get a permit. Everything will be permitted. You go into a grocery store. If you weren't watching this clip, then you saw that every single refrigerator had a camera above it, and you could only open the refrigerator to get some food to buy if they recognized you and you were approved through their social credit scores. If you read the right books, if you read the wrong books, if you belonged to the wrong party, if you had the wrong ideas, you were restricted. You could not buy anything. You could not travel anywhere. You'd be rejected on a bus, a plane, a train. That's a smart city. But they somehow didn't tell you that. You know what's amazing? Richard Gale and I have worked together to produce 14 major articles on the danger to G5. We found 10,000 articles in the peer-reviewed literature on the dangers of 5G, I should say. The New York Times sponsors 5G. And I looked at how few people have actually gone in to read these articles to inform themselves about 5G from my own audience. So that tells you how easy it's going to be for people to be told what to do, and they'll get right in line and do it. So I am not confident at this moment that anything at all can change in our world until there is a crisis in confidence that is so severe that those with morals and ethics will get into positions of power. And I believe that's possible. I believe that absolutely they're going to crash and burn, not because of anything we do, because we're not willing to give up our credit cards, our cheap clothing, our food, watching their media. Everything about our lives are attached to them. Now, there are people getting off the grid. Not enough, probably about 5% maximum. And there are states that you're going to be able to move into that will allow you to live your life off the grid and without the upwards of 500 vaccines that are in development or finished that they intend to put into your body, irrespective of the consequences. Well, they just put vaccines in your body that has killed over 300,000 Americans and will probably kill several million when all is said and done, unless you learn to get it out of your body. Can you? Yes.
That will be for a different topic. I already have a documentary out on that. So you see, when I'm talking about your loss of freedom, if you're distracted by other things that are not important, if you're taking care of your little responsibilities every day without the bigger responsibility for yourself, your freedom, then, wow, you really should turn me off and never listen to me again, because we don't match. And I'm not here to try to defend you against yourself. And that's exactly what I see happening everywhere. You want to change? No, but I believe in change. You care about women? Of course we do. I just had a conversation about an hour ago with Naomi Wolf. She's going to be on my Tuesday night program. And I said, Naomi, do you feel comfortable talking about the feminist movement, which I feel has betrayed women, is actually the enemy of women today? And she says, I feel even worse than that. I don't trust a single feminist today. There might be some exceptions. All the organizations have been co-opted. So Naomi Wolf, one of the world's leading feminist educators for 35 years, the most salient voice on women's issues, is now challenging the entire women's movement. We're at a breaking point, people. The key is there any opportunity to be on the right side of this and not be a victim? And what are we a victim of? The Klaus Schwabs, the people in power in the White House, Congress, the media? No. No, that's not the enemy. No, the enemy is the dark side of your nature that you refuse to confront because the pain, the humiliation of what it would mean if you had to actually see that part that has not been resolved. Could it be resolved? Yes, absolutely. Could you come into the light of your own being? Yes, you could. Next Tuesday, I'm having a whole discussion with a person, MD, PhD, on the nature of consciousness. That will be a deep dive. I hope you take the opportunity to listen to that, because we're not taking the deep dive into understanding how much control people have right now over our lives. I ask the average person, what do you think of our democracy? Oh, but we don't have a democracy. We're supposed to have a constitutional republic where the power resides with the individual, not the collective mindless group. And yet that's how far we've been indoctrinated. So in any case, I'm going to be offering a whole lot of solutions starting on tomorrow's program. Hope that you tune in then. If you'd like to call in, share a point of view, we don't have time today, but tomorrow you will be able to. Also, we just got back in stock. I just want to announce this. After a year of it being out, when I tell you that food supplies are really being challenged, it's going to get a lot worse because a lot of farmers are stopping farming. It's just too expensive. The cost of everything, including their seeds and their efforts, are not bearing any reward. So I'm having to go other places around the world to find things for my products, sometimes taking a year. So I jumped ahead of all this and am buying enough in advance so I don't run out. So right now we have enough coming in that I won't run out of anything for the next 3 years, except my anti-aging elixir was out for the last year. And by the way, this is probably one of the two most important products you could take each day. And it just came back in. And I'm going to give you this, the Healing Foods Cookbook and How to Live Forever DVD, plus a bar of our organic mint chocolate bar. All of this, and that's 70% all organic chocolate. It would normally cost you $140. It's $68.95. You're saving 50% on this value. And what's in the anti-aging elixir? You talk about something as the best product anywhere that has ever I've seen out there. It's giving you the following items. And almost all this is organic. Listen to what's in here in liquid form. You put it in a refrigerator. You shake it up because it's not homogenized. You're getting the organic apple and mangosteen and tart cherry and pomegranate. Again, these are all organic. Acai. You're getting nopal, noni, turmeric, ginger, sea buckthorn bark, ascorbic acid, papaya, pectin, mangosteen, beetroot, aloe vera, wolfberry, goji, elderberry, cranberry, blueberry, kakadu, or moringa, baobab, which is one of the oldest trees in the world, by the way, in Africa, macai. You're getting all this in one bottle. Organic, from around the world. There's no other product like this anywhere. And that's why I call it this is the ultimate super product. This is the anti-aging elixir. It's living. You shake it, you keep it in the refrigerator, you shake it and take just one capful a day. And I'm not going to tell you what it will do in the body. I don't make claims, but you can just look up everything that I just mentioned and you'll go, wow, I get all that with each capful? You bet you do. And you're saving 50% on a product that's just back in stock today. It's been out for a year and we won't run out again unless farmers stop growing. So then I'll have to reformulate it. And now if you want to get this, call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. All right, or call the owner of Vitamin Closet at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. And get your anti-aging elixir, plus the Healing Foods Cookbook, plus How to Live Forever DVD, and a bar of organic milk, mint chocolate. We're out of time, everyone. In fact, I got to jump over now to WBI because I got to help them raise some funds. So I look forward to seeing you all back here tomorrow with solutions to all these problems, to the World Economic Forum, to the corrupt politicians. I've got a solution. Okay? Good news tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.